Galatians, for me, this was me in March of 1985 in Korea. You've heard me mention the bunk that I read the book of Galatians on. Well, that was the bunk, and that's my picture. And a friend of mine, I was a sergeant, you can't see the stripes there, but one of my soldiers wrote this morning as I posted this on Facebook. And this is a friend of mine who was under me at the time, and he wrote this: "I was there with you, you kept me out of trouble." Of course, he wasn't really a troublemaker. I wrote this: "Yes, you were there, Chip, there in that room with me. There was severe weather that day, and you weren't what I would call a troublemaker. You were a good soldier." And this is something I never knew. He responded, "True. But tempted by the devil a lot, you kept me with the Lord." Wow. Did not know that. Let me remind us of something today. There's stuff that we do in our lives that we have no idea the impact that we've had on somebody. When I read Galatians, the small book of Galatians, it was like, bam. It was a shock and awe in my heart. You mean that we do not live by law and rules and regulations? And it hit me like a ton of bricks. And at that moment, I think I really understood what salvation was. I was saved, yes. But I understood for the first time that it's not about my doing, but it's about my being. It's not about my external works, but who lives in me. And this was a long time ago. I was 26 years old, and Holly was not even born. But I remember that bunk, and I had somebody take my picture of that moment because I wanted to be reminded of the fact that I serve God through faith and not by works of the law. Now, in our study, we've been looking at the Roman Catholic Church. We're going to give you three more that Luther was fighting during this period. No person can know for certainty if they have eternal life. Of course, we know as believers that when a person places their faith in Christ, they are his. These are the catechism numbers, by the way. Every sacrifice of mass appeases God's wrath against sin. We would say that Jesus Christ's death on the cross appeased God's wrath. The Bible says that the wrath of God poured upon Christ. Another thing that was problematic for Luther: adults must prepare for justification through faith and works. And we know that justification, what we're looking at today, justification is something totally different. It is disassociated with works, and we're going to look at that right now. This is what Paul says: faith leads to justification, not works. Faith leads to justification. Notice what he says here: "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners." Jews by birth. The Greek word there for birth means nature or natural descent. So he could say it this way: we were Jews by nature and not Gentile sinners. Harmotilos, which means sinful by nature. So, in other words, the Jews, by their natural nature, were with God, and the Gentiles, who were sinners, were not, because they were sinners by nature. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing this. So, in our review here, real quick, the Jews were connected to the law. The Jews knew the law very well. The Gentiles, however, were outside of that. So I want you to understand that when Paul is writing this, he is writing it to a congregation that has both Jews and Gentiles. And he is trying to bridge the gap and show the Jews that the Gentiles are on equal footing with them. And so he says, "We are Jews by nature and not Gentile sinners." Paul is simply acknowledging the attitude or the mindset of the Jew towards the Gentile, and then he's getting ready to level the playing field. He's saying, "I know that you call them Gentile sinners. You look down at them. You see them as second-class citizens, but that's not the way that God sees it." And I know we don't do that. And by the way, Romans 2:14 says this about the Gentiles who were outside this law. By the way, they didn't have the law. We did not have the law. That was a Jewish law for the Jewish people. And Romans 2:14, if you want to look it up, says this: the Gentiles who do not have the law are a law unto themselves. So even the Apostle Paul acknowledges in his great writing in Romans that the Gentiles did not have the law. However, that does not exclude them from being just as important in God's eyes as the Jews were. Because after all, the gospel went to the Jews first and then the Gentiles. It would stand to reason that God would want to redeem his chosen people, but he also grafted in us. We are chosen. We are privileged to be part of the body of Christ. And then he goes on to add, yet we know a person is not justified by works of the law. And the word justified, we've heard this word, dikaio. Dikaio in the Greek, justified. And notice here, it is a legal setting. And the word literally means the act of clearing someone of transgression. Beyond that, central to it, is to acquit, set free, to remove guilt, or acquittal. In other words, Paul is saying here, look, you Gentiles, and I'm not picking on you guys, I'm just using it by way of comparison. The Gentiles, you are so favored by the law, you think that the law is going to help you, but in actuality, you cannot be justified by works of the law. You cannot get acquittal for sin based on the works of the law. And by the way, I would maintain, and Paul would too, and he will here in a few minutes, is that you can't possibly live by the law and reach a state of sinless perfection. So the Jews had a problem. The issue here was that the Jews absolutely thought that they could get acquittal. And what was happening in Galatia was that the Jews were teaching the Gentiles, that's fine, trust in Jesus Christ, but to be good Gentiles, you have to come under the law of Moses and be circumcised and obey Moses. When actuality, there needs to be a distinction between the two. Paul is saying, and we'll continue to build the argument here, you cannot be under law and under Christ at the same time. You choose. Now, works, the Greek word there is ergon, which means task. And, of course, the law here is nomos, which is the Torah. And the fact is, he was hitting right at the Jewish heart. Now, I want you to imagine, if you're a Jew in Asia Minor, and you're hearing the Apostle Paul tell you the law that you cling to, that you love, and the law is good, it's holy, it's perfect. It was given by God. It was to teach the Jews how to obey God. But ultimately, when Jesus Christ came, and throughout Paul's writings, it says the law leads you to Christ. And he says, without a doubt, that it is impossible to be justified or to be acquitted of all wrongdoing by obeying the law. As wonderful as the law is, and I would be the first to admit, the law is holy, right? God wrote it. But God had a purpose in writing the law. Jeremiah says that there's coming a day when God will write the law on your hearts. It won't be an external stone. Saving faith, he mentions here in 16b. Okay, so if it is true that you can't be justified by works, then what is it? Well, saving faith is simple. But through faith in Jesus Christ. Through faith in Jesus Christ. So that's how we're justified. We're justified through faith in Jesus Christ, not by works of the law. Pistis. And it means to believe to the extent of complete trust and reliance. You must, in order to have saving faith, you cannot rely on anything else. It has to be full trust in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Because if you do not, if you trust in something else, if you're here today and you trust in First Baptist Church for your salvation, or you trust in the Catholic Church for your salvation, or you trust in the Episcopal Church, the Methodist Church, the Brethren Church, if you are trusting in those denominations to get you to heaven, you are barking up the wrong tree. because it has to be faith in Jesus Christ. It is in the personhood of Jesus Christ that he was fully God, fully man, and that you trust in that and you believe in that. And then he goes on to add this. So we also believe, pistio. That's the same word, believe. It means to have complete trust in Jesus Christ. This is verse 16. In order to be justified. There it is, right there. In order to be justified, that is to have acquittal of all charges, to be set free from the past, to be set free from sin, to be done away with. There it is. So we also have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith and not works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. I absolutely don't know. If I was a Jew at this point, I'm sure that Paul offended a few. But isn't that true? The gospel offends people, particularly the people that don't have it. And here Paul wrote masterfully. I like what Timothy George said in his commentary. And this is Paul, for Paul. For this reason, Paul considered as garbage that which formerly counted as most precious cargo of life. That is, Paul, he was a Jew among Jews. He loved the law. He was persecuting Christians. That which was dearest and most precious to him, he came to realize could not produce a right standing before God. In light of God's justifying grace, all had been gained was now loss. In other words, his Jewishness and his understanding of law was now, as Paul would call, dung. Brothers and sisters, this life is about faith in Jesus Christ. This life is not about how good I'm doing and how good I'll be, and that will determine how I get into heaven. That is false. What determines you getting into heaven is faith in Jesus Christ. And I might add, boldly, Him alone. Him alone. Now, if faith leads to justification, then the law leads to condemnation. And there's a deadly option Paul gives us. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? What? Well, in order to understand the issue, you have to go back to where Peter was eating with the Gentiles. And by the way, you don't have to roll back very far, because it's in the verses before the ones I just read. And he was saying that Peter, and I want you to listen to this, because this is directed at the Jewish audience. Peter goes in and he sits and he eats with the Gentiles. Well, James shows up. The apostle James shows up, and Peter is eating at the table with the Gentiles. And what does Peter do? He quietly gets up and walks back and goes, "Wow, I wasn't eating with them." This is in the verses just before. This is how you clarify the issue, what Paul's talking about. So what is he talking about? I want you to understand, he wrote these verses and then launched into this discourse. And the purpose of using Peter, and Peter had all kinds of flaws, but he loved God, he had flaws. And this was one flaw, when he saw James walking through the door with his entourage, and Peter was a Jew eating with Gentiles, he goes, "Oops." Because they're Gentile sinners from birth and we're chosen people. So Peter backed away. And then Paul caught him. Cephas, by the way, Peter. When he came, Paul confronted him to his face. "Hey, Peter, what are you doing? You eating with the Gentiles?" And then all of a sudden, when lawyers show up, you're going to abandon that and you're going to go back to the law? That's a problem. And by the way, as long as I'm speaking about it, I'm going to set it right for the church. Because the Gentiles in the Galatian church were looked down as second-class citizens. Let me remind the church today, nobody in the church of God is a second-class citizen. Particularly when we come by faith in Jesus Christ. So what is the argument? I think Paul here was using their argument to say certainly not. Let me play it out for you. Here's how it works. This is what the Jews were saying. Paul, if justification comes through faith in Christ, and you'll see it as I explain this, if justification comes through faith in Christ, then the law is eliminated. That's absolutely true. It's eliminated for the believers. Now listen to what he's saying. And if the law is eliminated, then it encourages people to sin. That was the Jewish argument to the Gentile situation. Then he says, therefore, Christ promotes sin. Now let's go back and read this. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? That's the argument. The argument is, if justification comes through faith, then the law is eliminated. For the Jew, they're thinking, well, the law is done away with, because he's saying justification is not by faith. And by the way, faith is how you live this Christian life out. You cannot live in two systems. And they were starting to push this out. And if the law is eliminated, then it encourages people to sin. Well, there's a problem here, because God gives you the Holy Spirit that comes and lives in your heart. And the Holy Spirit, who knows the law, will teach you that this is not right, this is not right. You have the Word of God as well to live. So what they're saying is what some of us have said. Well, if it's salvation by faith alone, then you can live however you want to live. Have you ever heard that? That's the general knee-jerk reaction to grace, by the way. The knee-jerk reaction to, really, it can't be that easy. I'm going to tell you this. Some work for their salvation, and some work because of their salvation. Those are two different premises. I hope that I get to heaven based on my works. I'm going to heaven, so I'm going to work for Jesus. Those are two different premises. And this is what Paul masterfully says, at least in the Greek language. This is the argument. The Jews were saying, okay, Paul, if justification comes by faith, then the law is eliminated. And if the law is eliminated, then what you're really doing is encouraging to sin. And then what you're saying is, he says it here, is Christ the minister of sin? And Paul says, big red flag, watch this, big red flag, certainly not. That's a wrong argument. So here's the deadly option. Look at verse 18. And then after he said verse 17, he says, certainly not. He said, you guys have got the wrong end of the argument. Look at verse 18. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself a transgressor. Here's the argument, guys and gals. If I return to the law after trusting in Christ for salvation, the law would only tell me that I am a sinner or lawbreaker. Clear. For if I rebuild, if I take the law and put it back up that I once tore down because of Jesus Christ, if I do that, I build it up again, the only thing that the law is going to tell me is I'm a sinner. Because brothers and sisters, that's what the law tells you. This is what Paul's saying. The law says I can't, and pushes me to go to Jesus Christ, where I can be saved and justified and put right. So Paul's saying to the Jews, that if you rebuild what you tore down, the only thing you're going to wind up with is you're a sinner, and you already know that.